The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Tonight we have kind of a double festival or a double feast for us. We have red on the altar. We are commemorating St. Luke the Apostle. And tonight we have our first opportunity. In the past, we've had one big questioning service for our junior confirmads at the end of the year. This year, we decided to do things a little bit differently and reduce the stress. Reduce the stress with regard to our questioning, and we'll break it into four parts. So tonight, in the spot in the service of prayer and preaching where we usually confess the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, we'll take a few minutes out and have our questioning for our junior confirmants. We present to you nine junior confirmants. Unfortunately, one of our confirmants is sick, Samantha, but she's a hardworking student. And she would be right here in the midst of all of them if she was able to. But she's been busy with the doctor today. So we pray for our junior confirmads, and we pray that God would bless you with a good confession of the faith tonight and a strong faith in Christ in the future. A couple of words on our service for this evening. Our opening hymn is number 940, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. Please note that the last verse, the fifth verse, is a Trinitarian verse. Please stand. Following that hymn, we'll follow the service of prayer and preaching. That's on page 260 and following. Page 260 and following. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings that You shower down upon us, blessings of faith and life and hope and love. Heavenly Father, we know that as we live in a world tainted by sin, we need hope. We need You. And that's exactly what You give us in Your powerful Word. Heavenly Father, Your powerful Word makes all things new and brings life out of death. Heavenly Father, bless us with that life-changing, life-giving Word today, tomorrow, and always. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 940.
continue with the opening versicles, page 260. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is true.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the festival of St. Luke is from Isaiah chapter 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe.
The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing their introit.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of Him, two by two, into every town and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the common responsory. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
All right. Okay. Again, this is a wonderful time for our junior confirmants, opportunity to boldly confess the faith they were baptized into, the faith that they have been taught, and the faith that they now confess before God and man. Jesus says, "Whosoever confesses me before my Father, I also, or before man, I also will confess before my Father." That's what our questioning is about, an opportunity to confess publicly the faith that we are not able to confess when we are alright, let's try it again. Is that better? Test it. Can you hear me? Alright, very good. Alright. I generally don't worry about people hearing me. Alright. So, before we go through this, I want to know who's up here tonight, our 9 of our 10 junior confirmants. So why don't we, I told them that they didn't have to face the people. Why don't we stand right now and turn around, and I'll quickly introduce you. Then you can turn around and sit back. Okay? All right? Okay. Let's stand up, turn around, face the people. All right. See if I can do this backwards here. Nick Crocker, Calvin Cuddy, Max Fitzsimmons, Grace Macklin, Elena Novacek, Shelby Pearson, Derek Poppy, Maddie Stolkpark, Jacob Weiss. All right, and remember, Samantha Robler would be here, but she's sick. All right, now you can sit down. That's the hardest part of anything that we do tonight, I promise. Okay, well, we've been studying the first quarter of our instruction with our 7th and 8th graders this year is God, the Bible, and God's holy law. And so our questioning will focus on those three things right now. All right, Nick, you get to go first. Are you ready? What are the three ways we know God exists?
Nature, the Bible, and our conscience.
Okay. Nature, the Bible, and our conscience. Calvin, which of those is the most important?
Bible.
The Bible. Hold it up to your mouth. All right. Tell me why.
Because it shows us our true God and how to get to heaven.
Okay. It tells us who the one true God is and how to get to heaven. Max, what are the two main teachings of the Bible?
Law and gospel.
Law and gospel. We have a little acrostic to help us keep those two apart. Very important for us. S-O-S. When we say law, S-O-S, what are we talking about, Grace?
Shows our sin.
Shows our sins. Elena, gospel, S-O-S.
Shows our Savior.
Shows our Savior. Now, God originally gave the law how? How did He do that? How did God originally give the law?
He wrote it on our hearts.
He wrote it on our hearts. That's called our conscience. That's what He did with Adam and Eve. Later on, as sin got worse and worse and worse, God wrote down His law. What do we call that law that God wrote down?
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. All right. To what human being, Maddie, did God give the Ten Commandments?
Moses.
Moses. And where did this take place historically in time?
Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai. All right. So, let's review the Ten Commandments. First commandment.
You shall have no other gods.
Second commandment.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
Third commandment.
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
Fourth commandment.
Honor your father and your mother.
You happy with that, Dad? Yeah, all right. Fifth commandment.
You shall not murder.
Sixth commandment.
You shall not commit adultery.
Seventh commandment.
You shall not steal.
Eighth commandment.
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
Ninth commandment.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
When you're on the end, you got to go twice. Tenth commandment.
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Very good. All right. Now let's shift gears and talk specifically about the Bible. God's Word, the Bible, teaches us that the Bible is inspired. When we use that word inspired or inspiration, what does that mean?
God breathed.
God breathed. The Bible, written by God, also teaches us that it is inerrant. What does that word inerrant mean?
Without error.
Without error. So, God wrote it. It's God breathed. It's without error. We have a Bible passage that kind of teaches all of that with regard to the importance of Scripture, 2 Peter 1:21. You ready?
Okay. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Very, very, very important Bible passage for all of us to know and commit to memory. All right. Now, we heard earlier that the Bible is the most important because it teaches us who the one true God is. Who is the one true God?
The triune God.
The triune God. Sometimes referred to as the Holy Trinity. What does that word triune or trinity mean?
Three in one.
Three in one. Three in one. Who then are the three persons of the Holy Trinity?
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Three persons, one God. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. All right. So, next time we get together for questioning, right before Christmas, we'll talk in greater detail about the Apostles' Creed. We just want some very, very basics about who God is right now. So, first of all, what two jobs do we ascribe to God the Father?
Preservation and creation.
Preservation and creation. Preservation and creation. Now, when we say that God created everything, how do we use that word create? What does that mean?
To make from nothing.
To make from nothing. Ex nihilo is the Latin phrase for that. And preservation, that's kind of a word we don't use much. What does it mean that God the Father is responsible for our preservation?
Everything we need to sustain this body and life.
God gives us everything we need to sustain this body and life. Another place in the Catechism gives that exact same definition for daily bread. Daily bread. So, preservation, daily bread, same thing. Same thing. All right. God the Son. What job do we ascribe to God the Son?
Justification.
Justification. Justification. Now, should we do it together? Should we do it together? Justification. God makes me just
as if I had no sin.
Boy, that was pretty weak. Let's try it again. All right, you ready? God makes me just
as if I had no sin.
Just as if I had no sin. All right. It's to be declared righteous. It's courtroom talk. God the Holy Spirit. What job do we ascribe to God the Holy Spirit?
Derek didn't go.
Yeah, he didn't go.
Wait, what?
What job do we ascribe to God the Holy Spirit? S word.
Savior?
Well, Jesus is our Savior.
Sanctification.
Yeah, there we go. Sanctification. Sanctification. And that big long church word, what does that mean?
To make
sanctification.
To make holy.
To make holy. To make holy. All right. Now, when we study the Ten Commandments, we said that it shows us our sin. What is sin?
Any transgression against God's law.
Yes, any transgression against God's law. That's why we study the law. So we see how we measure up. We have another definition for sin. It's the bow and arrow definition. What's that one?
Missing the target.
Missing the target or missing the mark. That's the literal Greek word for sin. God wants us to hit the bullseye every time. And when we don't, we miss the mark. We miss the mark. Okay. What three enemies tempt us to sin, sometimes called the unholy trinity?
Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh.
Satan, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. All right. Now, as we study sin, we study two types of sin. What are the two types of sin?
Original and actual.
Original and actual. And what is original sin?
The sin we're born with.
The sin we're born with. What are the two types, then, of the sin we're born with? Original and actual. What are the two types of actual sin?
Omission and commission.
Sins of omission and sins of commission. What is a sin of commission?
When we do something we're not supposed to.
When we do something we're not supposed to do. What then is a sin of omission?
When we don't do something we're supposed to do.
Yes, like clean our room or homework or something like that. Yes, okay. So, we study the law. It teaches us how we should live, but it makes us feel bad because we can't live up to it. Is it possible to be saved by observing the law?
No.
No. Well, if it's not possible to be saved by observing the law, what do we need?
Savior.
A Savior. A Savior. That's our last question. All right. Good job. Good job. All right. So, to recap, we know that there is a God. I don't need this. We know that there is a God, but only in the Bible do we have God's perfect revelation of who that God is and how to get to heaven. The law is good, the law is wonderful, but it cannot save us. We need a Savior. Thanks be to God, He gives us a Savior in Jesus Christ. Our text for this evening is the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 35. Take a look at that text, if you would. So I think it ties in very well with what we're talking about tonight. Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 8. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. You look outside at this time of the year, and you see the beautiful fall colors. Well, maybe not like the white mountains of New Hampshire fall colors, but Nebraska has its own special version of fall. It's beautiful this time of the year. Until we get one of those October, Nebraska, 35, 40 mile an hour winds. And then it's not so pretty anymore, is it? The leaves are in a pile. They need to be removed or raked or mowed. And all that's left are the trees and their bare branches. This time of the year, while it is a beautiful time of the year, football, hunting, colors, this time of the year is a reminder. It's a reminder that we live in a fallen world. It's a reminder that all things, including ourselves, will die. That's what the changing of the seasons teaches us, isn't it? That beautiful life, that beautiful green growth in the spring, the beautiful flowers, and then the frost comes, and it's gone. Just like that. The book of Isaiah teaches us that we should number our days, because we all, like the grass and the flowers, or the leaves on the trees, wither and fail. So, is that the only word that we have? Is that the only message that we have from God? No. We have a good news message. The verse right before our text tonight, the verse right before says in Isaiah 35, verse 4, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not." Well, who would have an anxious heart? Well, if we think about our own mortality, sometimes that gets us anxious. Sometimes we worry about things that we really shouldn't worry about, we just do. Maybe you're worried about that thing that's going on TV in about 50 minutes. And the future of our country. Maybe you're worried about your job, or a paycheck, or your health. The list is endless. We are people with anxious hearts because we are sinners. And ultimately, the greatest worry or anxiousness is the reality of death. God says, be strong. Don't worry. Don't have an anxious heart. That verse 4 continues. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Did you hear the last question that I asked our junior confirmants? Is it possible to be saved by observing the law? No! What do we need? A Savior! We can't save ourselves no matter how much we try. No matter how many self-help books you buy. No matter how many 10-step programs you attend. No matter how many times you pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. You ultimately cannot save yourself. And you may live through your whole life under the mirage that you can and you are and you do save yourself, but the one thing that reminds us all that it's a joke, we can't save ourselves, is the reality of death. Sometimes that reality of death sneaks up on us. You know, like when the goldfish jumps out of the bowl and you don't notice it. Or your beloved dog or cat or hamster or gerbil dies. Great companions. But this is God teaching us to number our days. Teaching us that we are mortal. Sometimes that reality stings a little bit closer. When a friend or a loved one gets very, very difficult news from the doctor. Or when a friend or a loved one dies. And it's there. And it hurts. And it's real. And our hearts get anxious. Tonight, to sinners like you and me. Tonight, to people with anxious hearts like you and me. Tonight, to mortals like you and me who are sinners and cannot save ourselves, God gives good news. In these words from Isaiah 35, He tells us how He's going to save us. He's coming to save us, and here's how. Now, I want you to think about these words very carefully. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Who does that sound like? Who is the one who does all that stuff? Jesus. Jesus. God in the flesh come to save us. Jesus, who demonstrated that He is who He claims to be, the Savior of the world, by miracles, signs, and wonders, healing the sick, raising the dead, calming the storm, walking on water, all of these things a testimony that He really is the Son of God, your Savior. Jesus is the one to whom God will pour out His vengeance and His recompense as He hangs on the cross, bleeding and dying for the sins we committed, paying the penalty that we deserve. This is God's plan to save you. And then in Isaiah 35, He gives us another picture. Think about these words. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass became reeds and rushes. Grass, water bubbling up in the wilderness, in the desert. This is the stuff of mirages. This is the stuff of movies and fiction. What in the world is God teaching us here? My friends, in the same way that God created the earth out of nothing by the power of His Word, when Jesus comes again in His power and might and glory and recreates heaven and earth, all that has been tainted by this world of sin will be made new. Water bubbling up in the wilderness. Grass growing. Life where there is only death. My friends, this is God's M.O. You know what God does with dead things? He makes them alive. This is the picture of the new creation. This is what we can look forward to. We who believe that Jesus came in the flesh to live and die and rise again, we rejoice that He's coming again. If we believe that Jesus came at His first advent to save us, then we have no reason to fear His coming at His second advent. From death to life. From death to life. A new creation. Do you realize this isn't something that we only look forward to at the end of the world on the last day? This is something that has already happened to every one of you. Don't you know that when you were baptized into the death of Christ? And if you were baptized into the death of Christ, you were also baptized into His resurrection? God has taken you from death to life. You are a new creation. God has made you creation. He continues to preserve you, give you everything you need to support this body and life. God has declared you righteous, justified you in the blood of Jesus Christ, covered over you in the waters of holy baptism. And now with the Spirit living in you, you are sanctified. Holy, holy, holy. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Those who are not washed clean in the blood of Jesus have no business on this road. They don't belong there. They can't stand it there. This is only for the baptized children of God. This is only for believers. The Way of Holiness. Yes, many of us are very foolish when it comes to how we live our life. We get our priorities mixed up. We think that is what is bad is good and what is good is bad. But even for fools like you and me, God's last word is forgiveness, life, and salvation. My friends, tonight, rejoice. You are a new creation. You have been declared righteous in God's sight. You are holy because God has holied you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our service continues now with our hymn. Speak, O Lord. What does He speak? The Word. Speak, O Lord, Your servant, Your new creation, listens. 589.
Thank you.
come in the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of Jesus Christ for you would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Stand for prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all who care for them, especially Mo, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have been joined in holy matrimony, especially Bryce and Ashley, Scott and Dee, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the baptized, especially the newly baptized, Hayden Ash, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, our Father, your blessed Son, called Luke the physician, to be an evangelist and physician of the soul. Grant that the healing medicine of the gospel and the sacraments may put to flight the diseases of our souls, that with willing hearts we may ever love and serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins, where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We sing. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
You may be seated. Closing hymn number 582. 582.
Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. I'll let you introduce and shake and congratulate, all that kind of stuff. The kids are going to be lined up outside, so I won't go into that detail. We'll do it again in December. We'll do it again in February. And we'll do it again in April. So twice on Wednesday night, once at 8 o'clock, once at 10:30, so the whole congregation will have a chance to rejoice in the confession of our junior confirmants. We have a table setting up back there. We have a Stephen Ministry Workshop coming up, It is free to the members of our congregation. We need to know a total for food count, so prayerfully consider that information in the news and notes. Be a great opportunity to, in a morning, when we have a ball game at night, in a morning to have an exposure to Stephen Ministry and to see what caring for one another in the name of Christ looks like. And under the name of Stephen Ministry, it's a great blessing. Prayerfully consider that. Also, this Saturday morning, we're having a congregational work day outside. Many hands make light work. If we have so many people show up that we don't have enough outside projects, we'll have some inside projects too. 9 o'clock Saturday, if you can make it, congregational work day here. Family fun night is Friday night this week. Signs up on the street, more information here. Big, big deal, especially for the kids. Friday night. Pastor, anything else? Vicar, anything else? Choir upstairs, Bible study, continuing to look at the CTCR document on racism. Are we getting to the end of that study here pretty soon?
About two-thirds.
Okay, about two-thirds done on that. Fellowship hall for that, choir upstairs. You guys follow us, okay? Have a great day and week. In the name of the Lord, you did well. Good job. Vicar, people want to shake your hand.